You're listening to the Christian Indie Artists and Songwriters Podcast, the place where faith, music, and life intersect. We exist to help Christian indie artists and songwriters just like you get songs heard. Hey, I'm here with my friend Grace Graber coming to us live from Nashville, Tennessee. How's Nashville this morning, Grace?
It is sunny. It was sunny, really rainy. Yeah, it was really rainy and stormy last night, but it's sunny.
Yeah, that's awesome. We always say little prayers for you guys when we see those storms coming through because you never know what's going to happen. But yeah, so glad to have you on. And like we were talking before we started recording here, just actually got to meet you for the first time a few weeks ago in Nashville at the Red Bird, which was an awesome night of great music. Wow, what a special night that was.
Yeah.
But awesome to meet you there. And yeah, we've been wanting to have you on the podcast for a while. Just excited, you know, definitely a fan of your music and got a lot of exciting things to talk about. So with that, like, where did kind of music all start for you? Where did it begin?
Yeah. So, hey guys, it's Grace. music started for me when I was like really young, when I was a teenager. I grew up in church, so I was a pastor's kid. I was like involved in like singing on worship team and whatnot. But music really started for me after I was bullied. I was physically and verbally assaulted by my peers growing up for being a pastor's kid. So I was around the age of 12, and then it got so bad, they took me out of different school districts, put me in another one, and then they, like, I guess people there had heard about me on MySpace. So it became unsafe for me to go to, like, all the school districts in the area. So I was homeschooled, and then because I went from, like, that trauma to seclusion, really, I experienced suicidal thoughts. And right before I was planning on taking my own life, a song kind of popped into my head and like told me I wasn't alone. It was like an old Hawk Nelson song back from the day. I fell asleep that night instead of taking my own life. And I like woke up the next morning and I was like, whoa, what was that? And I had experienced the power of music. Yeah. The power of God through music. And I became like obsessed at that point. Like I learned how to like play guitar and like really sing. And my dad growing up, he's a songwriter too. So like I always knew about like music being like really a big part of our lives, but it became a really big part of mine after like that song had stopped me from committing suicide. So I started pursuing music then. I think I was like 14. It was just a way for me to like express myself and write. And then I made friends who would love to do the same thing. And so it became like a really, really great thing for me. I started opening for bands back in the day. I was known for the song Curiosity Killed a Cat in high school. So I guess that was my first big hit. And then I went to college for music. Basically, I was a person who would never make the worship team, and I was told I'd never make it by like some producers, and so I ended up just getting married and move into the Pacific Northwest. And then when we moved there, we got in a car accident. I lost my ability to play guitar. I basically took about like a year and a half to heal from that. So once I got healed, we felt like, hey, let's use the car accident money to pay for school. So we both went back to school. I went back to beauty school. And basically, I felt like God said, I'm establishing this career so you can pursue music. I was like, what do songs have to do with skincare, first of all? Because I was studying facials and all that. I graduated, got a job at Hand in Stone, where I'm still working. They put out a company-wide, nationwide songwriting contest. I won. They sent me to Nashville. When I was in Nashville, I met a producer, and the rest is history. Wow. So that's how I got into music and into the artist thing. I'd done the artist thing when I was like young as Grace Williams, but this what I'm doing right now is actually very, very newly established. Like my first song only came out in 2020. So that's how I got started in music. It was a long process, but God was faithful.
Wow, that's amazing how what would seem would be so unrelated and all and like the opposite of like a career start, you know, like like several traumas, you know, from the bullying thing to the ostracization. I don't know if that's a word, but I think it probably is. ostracization, yeah. you know, to going to homeschool, then to your, all the things that you went through with your, you know, mental condition. And then that one song shifted everything, but not instantly necessarily. I mean, of course it did make a massive impact then, but then the residual effect of that. And then, yeah. And then really kind of almost sounds like bullied again in a way with people like not letting you join worship teams and things like that. Like what's that all about, you know, but still like what other place should you be able to jump in? I mean, sure. You know, everyone has, but obviously you have ability. It's not like you couldn't do it. Cause I mean, we hear your songs now and they sound great. So obviously you're able to do that, but then, then a you know, big move and kind of giving up on it, you know, and going the, getting the married thing and then, yeah. And then a car, it's like, wow, a lot happens in a short amount of time. And then to still see God put that together just in this different way, this unique way that's unique to you. And then for you to be able to like pen that experience and share it with others. Cause I, you know, the older I get and the more experience I have personally, I understand that the difference between people that do music and the people that like our music are the ones that have experienced pain and can communicate that in a way that's unique. And that's what reaches people. Cause you know, if you haven't experienced pain, how can you possibly relate to people? You can think about it. You can try to talk about it and you could probably get close, but there's some sort of thing that we have as humans where we can sense that sincerity and authenticity. And that's what resonates, I think. And I think that's exactly why you've been able to kind of hit the ground running. So moving to Nashville, like how did you get to Nashville? When did you decide, okay, we need to move to Nashville? What did that look like? Cause so many people are asking themselves that question right now.
Well, so I had a thought with you just talking about that, about the pain, experiencing the pain. I always tell people the reason why I'm like hustling so hard is because I know what it's like to live without this. I know what it's like to think, darn it, that dream, that dream's gone. So that's one of the, that pain is the reason why I hold so tightly, but still with an open hand. I'm still reasonable, but like the reason why it's like nothing is going to stop me from just continuously writing songs and releasing music. Like, but anyways, okay. Yeah. Your question was about moving to Nashville. Nashville. Okay. So it was one of those things where, during COVID, I was taking a lot of songwrites and they were people in Nashville. We were making good relationships. I was making relationships with, I think we know so many people from the Full Circle family, and writing with them. And Holly Hollowell was one of those people. And then I had artists who I was like on their related artist page. And so we reached out to each other and started writing together. Cause it's like, if we're going to be related artists on Spotify, let's work together.
Yeah.
It became like a ton of just meeting people. COVID really opened the door for it to not be taboo to meet online. And I think that because I was in Portland, Oregon, and I'm so social, like that's a strength for me. So it's like, oh, we can communicate with anybody now.
Yeah.
I mean, we could always do it, but it was kind of like looked down. I don't know. I felt like, I feel like it was a little like almost unprofessional. So moving to Nashville is like, I was taking a lot of writes with people in Nashville and they were always like, oh man, you'd really make it. And it's like, oh, that's so sweet. And then I became friends with my A&R. He reached out to me. I think it was even before I before Steven came into my life. We'll get to Steven in a moment. I took like a meeting with an artist and he said, Grace, you are doing more than people who live in Nashville right now. Like you are doing more being farther away and like making more progress. He's like, can you imagine if you moved to Nashville and you were doing all of this? Like you have all of these resources at your hands available to you in person. At the time, I didn't really understand, like moving to Nashville and being here, I now understand what it's like when people are like, yeah, next time you're in town, or like being here in the community is very important. So at the time, I was like, well, I can do all this from here. But he's like, no, I know a lot of artists who are sitting there. They have projects, they have fully finished songs, and they are not releasing because they are waiting for someone to come around and release them for them. Like they're just waiting for record deals, which is like, you know, you move to Nashville, you wait for a record deal, that kind of thing. But what he pointed out to me is he's like, you're not waiting. You're just doing it. And he's like, if you were here, I guarantee you it would probably be the best thing for you. So I walked out of that meeting, like, not expecting to be like, what if I did move to Nashville? Like, what if I kept this momentum, but in a place where I could have better resources? So I went to my husband. My husband, oh, bless his heart, I love him so much, but he's always the first to say no to everything. Always. Like, he's always the first to be like, I don't know, or does a lot of research. Okay. But I went to him, and I remember it vividly. I was in the hall. I looked at him, and I said, what if we moved to Nashville? And he went, okay. And I was like, what? Like, I think we both realized in that moment, oh my gosh, it's happening. Because he didn't, like, the first thing he said wasn't like, like, it was, okay, yeah, sure, what if we did it? And so from there, we started pursuing. We told our friends, like, hey, we're praying about moving to Nashville. It was going to take about like 10 grand to move, though, because of all the moving costs. And it was cross country from Oregon to Tennessee. And we needed some new furniture. We never got, we got like married in an Airbnb, never had like a full wedding where we got like gifts and like a like new stuff, you know? Yeah. So we had all like, we're like, oh my gosh, if we're moving, we are not taking this microwave. We are not taking this bed frame. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So like we had a lot of costs, and so it was going to be about 10 grand. So I worked as much as I could. My husband worked, we saved. I wrote while I did it too. And then when we decided we were moving to Nashville, I met Steven, A&R, and he's been so essential. Shout out Steven. he's been so essential to just encouraging this portion of like moving and stuff like that. So I met him, he reached out to me, and at the time he wasn't with a label. He was like, hey, I want to be an A&R and I like your stuff. Can we like meet? So we had a meeting and I was like, you know what? There's just something about you that makes me go, I want you on my team. Like if you're going to be an A&R, you probably understand me, and that is what you want in an A&R. So I was like, hey, can I consider you on my team? Can you help me pick the songs for the next project? And so we began like that, like, relationship where it's like he knows I'm moving. And so then he now works for Centricity, which is like insane. So
yeah,
there you awesome. Go. There you go. Shameless plug to Steven. But like it was just like he was so essential and just like encouraging us to get here and just like and helping me pick songs, like, and I think that also made me more and more excited. So it took 3 days to get here. It was a journey. I decided to release a song while we did this cross country move. And I decided like 2 months out, I was like, oh, I have photos, I have marketing pieces, I want to do a goodbye song for my friends. I also want to film a music video. Like, crazy. I got it all done. So it's all available, but it was a goodbye song for my friends. But that is my biggest advice, is like, if you are going to move cross country, do not release a song while you do that, because it's a lot of work. So I used the move as like marketing for that song. So that was really cool to like document and like be in the car and take like photos of the road and be like, go listen to this new song. And I guess that was a way I coped with the stress of moving.
Distracted yourself from the weight of it all.
Yeah.
What was the song that you released? And did you release before you actually moved and you were posting about it as you went?
Yeah. I released it the day we moved.
Wow.
I am nuts. I was like, how cool would it be if I like it dropped and it was like, I moved, and it was like the lyrics are like, I'll never forget the moments that we shared, that kind of thing. It's called This Life. It's on Spotify. It's everywhere. It's the orange cover. And it was like just a goodbye song. Like, having this life is new to me were the lyrics. And truly, oh man, I played that at a show last week and it's like, wow, I'm so glad I did release that song then, because like it, like that song for every season, I feel like is so true. It's like, this is all so new to me. And I did a music video to it. One of my friends, Regan, out there in Portland, helped me out with that. Like, everyone was just like, every song I've ever released really is all just been like pure generosity and like, yeah, we believe in this too. And that's what I got to credit God for that. Cause I think the hardest thing to do is get people on board. Cause totally. You can't control that.
Yeah. No, but it's really cool because, you know, you took this thing where moving is not something you do every day.
No.
And it can get, or hopefully not, unless you're, I guess, the military or something. But like, you know, you could just take that and be like, cool, here's the journey. And that's fine. But like, even though it was probably definitely a big extra layer, like to be able to bring people in. For one, you're moving to Nashville, which is super exciting. You know, you're going cross country, all of that. But then to kind of have like this way to point to this thing, like this is a song that's like the soundtrack for our move and also like anyone's move, both, you know, physically but also spiritually. You know, you're doing this big faith step and everything, so for the song to be, I mean, really, it's brilliant. I know it, like you said,
I know it's crazy, but it's I feel isn't like I mean, I could name so many artists like that are crazy but they're brilliant, you know, like it's yeah
I mean, there's, what's the line, you know, between brilliance and, you know, insanity? Who knows? I think we often teeter that line, but I think maybe the ones that are able to really get out art maybe know how to bend that line a little bit more. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's really cool. I love that. So, okay, so you meet Steven and, you know, he gets plugged into a label, which that obviously helps.
Yeah, that's cool.
Your situation too, you know. So, like, what has that done, like, being, so once you've been in, you're planted, you know, like we were talking before we started, like, things are really kind of kicked off quickly, you know, like how much of that has to do with like your like Steven association, but then also just like building into the relationship that you already kind of had.
It has nothing to do with Steven, because even though he went somewhere, I did not. It's just totally fine. He actually just independently A&R'd me. So all these songs like on my next project were all like, he was on like board with, okay, yes, I agree with that. I think that matches the vision. Like he's a person where it's like, I wrote like 20 songs, which one do you think is the best? And so actually what's funny, so before we moved, okay, so I have to talk about postpartum release depression. This is essential to the move. This happened February, March of last year when the EP released. There's this like type of depression you get where you feel disconnected from the world and disconnected from what's going on when something successful happens. Like when the EP dropped, it was good and people were like encouraging me and like all on my, in my corner. And that's great. You want that. But there's like this disassociation with it you experience where you're like numb. And what I noticed was instead of like turning to God and instead of like embracing this, I was like turning to alcohol, and I was doing like everything we like preach at church not to do, you know, which there's no shame in having a drink once in a while, like, hello. But like, I didn't realize I was coping. I was actually trying to like push it away and keep it at arm's length. So it was actually a write with Holly Hollowell. I sat down, and it was actually, I think, a week after I had finally sought help. I went to a counselor. I got back on medication, and the amount of shame I felt, like defeat I felt for having to go back on medication after preaching. And I think it was like, oh my gosh, she has a YouVersion devotional plan. She has this music that points people to Jesus. She has to be perfect. Like it's, and it's not like that's a pressure I gave myself, but it was kind of like, oh my gosh, the fact that I have to go on medication and I still have problems, like this doesn't add up, right? So I was in a songwriting session with Holly Hollowell, and I told her, I was like, hey, so I went back on medication, and I'm like not doing well. Like my anxiety was just through the roof. And most of it was anxiety. Most of it was like, oh my gosh, what do people think? Like, I need to get this done. And she was like, Grace, I would have never noticed. I would have never thought, because online you look fine. And it's like, well, what if everyone else, you know, like how many other people are fine online and are artists and they are struggling and feel shame for taking medication or feel shame for having to get help because they feel like they have to have it all together for their art. And we actually wrote, okay, so this is like the cool part about that day.
Yeah.
The songwriting session we did, we wrote Do It For Me. And that's my next single coming out. And it's like, it's literally like, God, I've seen you do it and you'll do it for me. That's basically what the song's about. So like we're both, me and her both were like moving to Nashville and we are like all excited. And so we wrote the song about God doing it for us. Right. And that's going to be my next single. But I got off that phone call and she was like, Grace, like, I didn't know that. And like, please don't feel shame. And just like so loving about it. And I was like, yeah, we've needed to have this conversation. I clicked. I got off that Zoom. I sat there and I wrote Conversation. Like same day, like the next two singles.
Like a solo write the next one?
The next one, yeah. Conversation will be after Do It For Me. And it's going to be the title track to the sophomore EP. And it literally, I mention it. I say like, felt guilty for having a drink or two. And like, and I would never share that part online or I just like, why don't we talk about it and have a conversation is basically what the song is about. And it's like that opened up everything. And I think that's when it got real. So I sent those songs to Steven and this is what's funny. He goes, can we talk? And I was like, oh my God, he's going to think like I am so mentally ill. I was afraid. I texted Holly. I was like, okay, I'm sending these to people. Like,
like a work tape or do you have a demo for it?
Just a work tape.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the demo came later and that was the Lord. But, and we sat down. He goes, no, these are the songs for your next project. And I was like, what? And I think it kind of like sparked something. It was like, no one's writing about mental health, no one's talking about it. I mean, we are, but like in Christian music, CCM, like it's a business thing. You have to have the sound to like be, you know, Christian music. Like there's like the standard sound, right?
Yeah.
But like there's also like, I feel like, I don't know, like you can still be a Christian artist and release music that doesn't sound necessarily like CCM-ish. And so for me, it's like, this is such a topic that probably, I don't know, as far as K-Love, that song probably will not be on K-Love because I talk about medication and drinking, but it's like, this is still needed in the community. We have Olivia Rodrigo. We've got Billie Eilish. And this is one of the things we talked about in our meeting about the song is like, we've got all of these artists making these songs that make people feel heard. Where are the Christian artists? Like, I mean, like they're there, but I don't know. Like it's a hard line to cross. Like who am I, you know, to like say anything, but my goal is really to highlight that topic and really to not be afraid of sounding different and not be afraid of might get some backlash for saying that. But you know, like this is part of the mission is when it comes to mental health is there's a lot of guilt and shame and fear behind this topic. So you're going to get met with a lot of like, guilt, shame, and fear from other people. And so it was nerve-wracking when I decided it, but I was like, okay, this is the next project. So he kind of helped me spearhead, like, this is what we're going to do when you get here. So that's why I've hit the ground running so much is because I got here and it was like, I knew exactly what I was going to do. And that's like another piece of advice I give anyone is just know what you're trying to do. Just know it. Like, cause when I got here, it was like, I met a lot of artists and they're doing their thing and that's great, but I'm focused on mental health. Like, I have a mission and I think that's what's really helped me is having people helping me stay focused on that. Like, stay focused on this topic. Like, don't go off topic, you know, and that's encouraged me to do like my reels, and to, get on social media and talk about taking medication and stuff. I made some pretty vulnerable reels recently and it's just like, I don't know, like we need that to heal, you know?
Thanks for sharing all that. And I think the biggest thing is like, yeah, we all, you know, it's like we all say like social media is the highlight reel. So we get to pick and choose the best parts of our life. But the reality is that's like, I mean, it is real because it is a part of our life, but it's just like a small piece of the pie. And yeah, that's what's so like ironic is that like we're all dealing with it, maybe some people more than others. And but we all have a thing, you know, because one of my life verses is 2 Corinthians 12:9, which is like basically like in our weakness, God's power is made perfect.
Yes. I love that verse. Yes. And not to call mental health weakness either. Like some people, it's like, it's I like, there's that line, because I love that verse for mental health. Like, but it's also when I feel weak, you know, that's when God is strong. And right. Oh, man, it's, yeah, it's not, I don't know why it's not talked about in the church. Maybe there's just like not like a story like necessarily about it, or like there's a lot, like I feel like the Bible's used against mental health sometimes. Mm. Like, don't fear, don't. But it's like, sometimes our brains can have these chemical things going on that
a lot of the times,
like, and we're born, if you think about it, we are born into a fallen world. This is going to happen. It's not as easy as just trying to think good and happy thoughts. If that were true, we would all be flying like in Peter Pan, you know, like, right. It's like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of guilt and there's a lot of shame, and I don't know where it came from. And all I know though is guilt and shame are not from God.
Right.
They're not.
Yeah. The Bible says all the time, like, about anxiety. There's like hundreds of verses mm-hmm. about anxiety from Jesus in red, like mm-hmm. in this life, you will have trouble. That means we're not all flying around like Peter Pan all the time. Now the hope is that we get there, you know, yeah. at the end when yeah. we, you know, but yeah. And I think too, like, 2 Corinthians is one of my verses for that reason, but also mm-hmm. because not only does it say like weakness, but it's like, that means that if God's powers may be made perfect through yeah. weaknesses, whatever,
yeah.
that means that we're going to have them, you know, yep. like it's logical, right? It doesn't say like, if you have weaknesses, his powers made perfect. It's like, when you have weaknesses, his powers made perfect. So that means we all Ooh. Have them, right?
Ooh. Yeah. We all have them. And that's why I got to sing, you know, like, yeah. it's just, and that's what people are craving. Like, they're truly craving being known, right? Like, people who are like chasing other things other than Jesus, like, they just want to be known by something. And it's like, what if God knows those deep parts of us? I don't know. It was something I had to like relearn when I went into therapy and got back on medication. It's like, God doesn't see that and look away. He sees that and goes, no, draw me closer. I want to be in this. I want to be here through it. And that's why I feel like sometimes there is pain, is because God's call, like, I'm not to say like God makes things happen and make pain, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Totally.
No. God wants to walk through it with us. Like, truly, he desires a relationship. He desires us feeling known by him. I can't imagine a better life than being completely vulnerable and honest, and also being known by God. And God walking with me through that. And so I guess part of the reason why I show that vulnerability is because I know God walks with me through it, and he doesn't look away. And yeah. and so it's like, we got to be honest about it. We got to talk about it. We got to have a conversation.
Boom. That's it. Yeah. No, I mean, it's so I listened to this podcast, Faith Over Fear. It actually came out of the YouVersion. It was a Devo plan, but there was this one day, it was actually the day that I was going to Nashville for that trip a few weeks ago. And, you know, I was like about the travel whole thing, like whatever, but like there was this line, this golden quote, and I should know his name. I'll look it up. I'll link it below. But he basically said, like, the power for our purpose comes through the uncomfortable, you know? And that means like, okay, like what do we really learn in the high times, the mountaintop moments. Mm-hmm. I feel like we receive like blessing, and we receive like, you get to tap into like the joy, mm-hmm. but like, I feel like we learn on the way there, you know, through the valley moments, through the struggles. That's where the songs come from. Because like, if we all just wrote happy songs all day long, that'd be awesome. But like, then it's just the Lego movie. Like, we can't really like connect to that. We can be happy for 5 seconds, but like the songs that really resonate and mean something and have like changing power, like the Hawk Nelson song that you listen to, that I guarantee you that song came from a point of pain or struggle. It has yeah. to, right? And two, like pointing to what you said about like your songs not sounding like, you know, CCM, for one, like, I feel like that is becoming its own genre in a way, yeah. which is weird, because playlisting, it doesn't really matter anymore, because yeah. you can get a song with 100 million streams that never even touches radio. I mean, chances are it would, and there's nothing wrong with radio. I think it's great, but no. like yeah. you can have your cool sounding, modern sounding songs with mm-hmm. meat that actually mean something that can reach people. Like Ross King. I don't know if you know Ross. Ross is a good friend, and he's got a song. He's got a song called Things That I'm Afraid Of, and it's literally about mental health. I mean, he says, I can get the medication, ooh, the counseling in his pre-chorus.
I am going to go listen to that.
Oh, yeah. And Josh Wilson actually just cut it, also Ross's song. But Ross's version has like over a million streams, and he's an indie, and artistry-wise, he's a signed writer, wow, but an indie artist. And Josh just cut it, and the whole radio push and everything. But it's just pointing to the fact that like, but that's super unique. And that's what you're doing too. So obviously this is the thing where like you guys get to like pioneer the space, mm-hmm, to bring it to where it's, yeah, like, yeah, we can say like, oh, well, maybe if you prayed a little harder, you'd be okay in between your ears.
Boo.
Like,
you know,
which is
boo,
not right. Right. Yeah. That is not right. And I've never personally had anyone tell me that, but I know that that's like, yeah, that can be a thing to where like, we have to be our happy little church people or else
we're, happy little church people.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is, but so you bringing that to the forefront is so important. It's mm-hmm. it's obviously beyond just the music. That's the vehicle. That's the vessel. But I think like what you're saying, and this is something that I hope like anyone listening is catching this. It's like, yes, the music is the tool, but like the message is the thing that actually, yeah, makes you have something to say, and it, yes, gives you a focus and a target. You're not just like, this song makes me feel good, so I'm going to put it out there. You're like, this song is for a reason. It goes through your filter. And if it doesn't match up with your vision and your direction, then you might love the song, mm-hmm, but it might not be for Grace Graber. It might be for someone else.
Yeah.
You know, so that gives you the focus. And I think that's why you're so busy, is because you actually have the focus. That's what you're talking about.
Well, I think like if I had advice for like any artist, like if you're an indie listening to this, it's just think about your story. Like think about what makes you excited, and may, like, I'm trying to think like of like some absurd thing that probably, candle making, I don't know, I saw a candle, it's like, think about that. Why don't you market to the people who make candles, you know, like, why don't you write a song about the process of writing a, I don't know, where, you know, one of my favorite band name ideas, sorry, this is so off topic, it's, but great, like if I had like a hardcore metal band, I would name it, okay, my producer Blake is gonna, he's probably rolling his eyes if he's listening to this. I would name it High Calorie Candle. Do you know why? Because calories are like the amount of which like something burns. Like how, so if it's a high calorie candle, it burns for a long time. Anyways.
That's really good. HCC. Like,
anyways, back to the advice is just get excited about your story. Get excited about where you've been. I know probably you don't want to visit that. Probably you don't want to talk about it. But I guarantee that pain, that experience of like my trauma, that trauma of me being told like, yeah, just pray. I've seen family members being told like, you didn't pray enough. And that sucks.
Yeah.
Think about that moment where it just sucks and start writing towards that and start, I don't know, start targeting that, like, I'm marketing advice, I guess, too. Like, don't, like, yes, you can be another CCM artist. You can, like, maybe you want to, you know, I do that. Whatever your dream is, try marketing to those people. Like, try and see what happens. Like, TikTok, the reasons why TikTok does so well is because people find, like, a niche, like, a target audience, and it's, like, they can never get away from making those videos ever again because, yeah, TikTok thrives off of that algorithm. And so there's beauty in that. But if, I don't know, yeah, it would probably be my one thing is, like, find your niche, work so hard towards it, and, like, and yeah, and the other thing too is like, don't let anything stop you. I actually, so I worked three jobs to save, to pay for my first EP. I worked at the spa as an esthetician, but I worked at the front desk too. So I'd like go to the back and then go to the front and check people in. And then I worked at Old Navy. So I guess you could say it's sponsored by Old Navy.
Sponsored by Old Navy.
Yeah. And that's because, like, I knew, like, I was the only one who'd be able to make it happen. At the end of the day, like, if you have a dream and if you have, like, someone you want to work with or something you want to do, and, like, it's, you can make it happen. Like, I mean, get another job. Maybe it's not that easy, but it's just like, the other reason why I feel like it's been going so well for me and I'm having a blast is because if I need to make a couple extra bucks,
yeah,
I work a retail job. It sucks and I'm tired and I do get burnt out sometimes, but it's all for that. It's the same as like when we're serving at church, you know, like we get tired, you know, volunteering or giving our time. It's like, this is how I'm yeah. serving at church is yeah. I have to make the moolah to make the music. So, yeah.
No, that's really good. You have to make the moolah to make the muzah. So maybe that's the title. Who knows? But
and sometimes I can be a little harsh about that too. But like, it's just like, I get really excited and passionate about the fact that like, God can do anything if we just take that leap of faith. If you just move to Nashville, and there's probably a lot of like things in the way of doing that. It took a lot of money to move here. And it took like over a year to save for that, but it happened because it was like,
yeah.
I'll take up another shift. I'll have to cancel this song right to do this, but I'm here now and like, I can do a song right. Like, you know, and then yeah. I have the ability yeah. to meet people in person and I don't know. Yeah. So just worked for, I just one step at a time, take a step of faith. I don't know. This is your sign of taking a step of faith right here, right now.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's probably going to be the teaser audio I pull out of this right there, because that's what people need to hear. I want to talk about the distribution deal and okay. this new EP too, like, you know, moving into all of that, all this fuel, all this great, you know, these huge steps of faith and all the things that you've gone through has led you to, you know, now. So you're working on these two songs. They're getting ready to come out.
I'm working on four songs. Five
total. Okay. So five song EP that I'm imagining you're getting produced in Nashville and then you're getting distributed. So I'd love to talk like you to give a little bit of like forecasting of like your plan and like, what are you going to do with these songs moving forward?
So I'm really passionate about always having a music video with a song. Like if I don't see a music video in my head while I am writing a song, I probably don't cut it. Basically. So the next phase is I'm keeping that consistent. Every song I've ever released probably it has a music video out there. So go check it out. It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I'm doing that. I'm keeping the music video. We signed a distribution deal with Wings Music Group. And I've got a manager now. He's amazing. I've got my producer. I met somebody reached out to me via email. I mean, super professional email. Hi, I'd love to have coffee with you. It was Blake. It was my producer, Blake. And we went and had coffee and we just hit it off. And it was like one of those things, same with Steven, where it was like, you're on my team. I need you on my team. Like, I don't know. Like, what's funny is I barely had heard his production before, but I just, the way we hit it off, I was like, man, we're going to have fun. And that is all I want. And we do. We have so much fun. You think my energy is high? His energy is always higher. It is so much fun. And we ended up working together and we got like five demos done, like within the first 2 weeks of work. I remember being some ridiculous number within like the first 2 weeks. And the first song we did work on together was Conversation. And when we worked on that, I mean, like literally, like that was a demo for it. And then we cut it and then we worked, like it was, oh my gosh. So the next phase is I'm releasing a four song EP with one surprise song. If you get an actual physical copy of the CD, because that is important. I need to pay bills.
Physical merch, people, come on.
So it's going to be called Conversations, and they are all songs about mental health, about believing God can do something in your life, about talking about it, about one of the songs called The Light, talking about bringing in the light. It was kind of like a second part to Darkness, but it's a lot more pop punk. And that was another thing too, is I writing a mental health project and producing it and working on it, I knew I needed to go back to my roots. And that's Hawk Nelson. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I feel happier than I've ever felt with my music because it feels so me. Most of these songs, so the first song coming out is definitely CCM, but from there on, get ready. Like, it is fun. It is pop punk. It is not Machine Gun Kelly pop punk, but a little Reliant K, you know what I'm saying? Just a little sprinkle of...
Like a hello. But, Paramore, yeah. Right? You got some Paramore. Paramore. There, right?
Love it. And even Paramore did like the pop thing too. So yeah. Sure. So we're going more pop punk. We've got the distribution deal. We've got music videos coming. I've got a great team. And I could like truly, I could not do this without Matt, Steven, and Blake. I cannot stress this enough. Is like these three guys believe in what I'm doing. We've sat down, had meetings together and lunch, and we talk about it. We talk about, okay, is that cohesive? Do we all agree on this? Like, is this a good idea for her to like take this many rights? Or I don't know. Like, we all talk about, okay, so this will come out next. They're a blessing from God. And then we also like, okay, Blake, you need to get this done by this time. And you guys need to meet before this. And so it's great. It's great. We're doing that. The distribution deal. So I didn't know about that until, it was actually Rachel Niemerhoff, who she got a distribution deal recently. I was talking to her about like streaming, because I'm like, I can't pay like $1,000 to like, you know, possibly get on a Spotify. If I wanted to, I can make it happen, but I'm not going to. So I reached out to Rachel because she's had so much success. Like, she killing it. Guys, don't listen to my music. Listen to her music. It's amazing. Her voice is like butter. And I reached out to her and I was like, hey, you seem to be like so good at this. Any advice? She's like, all she said was, have you heard about distribution? And then from there, I reached out to Steven. I'm like, what is distribution? What does that look like? Okay. Before they could really answer my question, I got a call from my manager, Matt, who said, hey, you got offered a distribution deal. So I quickly learned, okay, what is this? Like apparently Matt and Steven had been talking and there was a distribution company in town that I guess had a really good reputation. Wings, I guess, has great reputation. I mean, they do, because they have great artists on their roster. I think Corey Voss just got signed to them, which is amazing. But distribution is literally when you have people helping you out, basically like represent. This is my understanding. I might not be getting this right. You have people representing you to like Spotify and iTunes and all these playlisters. That's all they do, is they represent you and then they get like a cut of basically what you make of those streaming, which we all know you do not make much streaming. So when they said, oh, here's what we need to make off of your streaming, which is not much, I was like, okay. I know how much that would be if you had distributed the last project. So okay, yeah, I can lose out on that.
Yeah.
So the thing is, they have to make money too. So they're like representing you, and they're like, oh hey, this artist has a song, and they've really been encouraging because I have this whole project just ready to go, like releases for the rest of the year, and so they've been really just like telling me like how important that is. Like that is so great. Like, and so if you're an artist out there, yeah, come with a full project. Like get that all ready. So yeah, from there on, we just gave them the music and they just put it out. And so I don't have to do anything, which is new for me. I just sit here and I'll watch it drop. And we are gonna like do our own like radio stuff. Matt's handling that, but like submitting to like small ideas and stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, I get to sit back and just provide the marketing. I love making marketing pieces, like graphics and stuff. So then they get a cut of whatever I get for streaming wise. And like literally, this is the before. We will see the after in a month. I have no idea. And I always like to like keep my expectations low. But I also am always like, ooh, that'd be cool if that happened. But yeah. I don't know. So I'm keeping my expectations like, okay, possibly. The goal is to get on a Spotify editorial. That to me is like a huge win. And from there, I'll have to think of another huge win to chase after, because I can't just stop there, right?
Excited for you. And yeah, it sounds like, you know, yeah, it's still all in God's hands. But, you know, bringing on the team is crucial, because they're actually able to do some of this stuff, or, you know, a chunk of it within their own strengths and gifting, while you can lean in harder to the things that you're, you know, because we all have our, you know, obviously we all have limited capacity and we are able to do it all and you were doing it all, but now you're in a place to where like you need other plates moving that you can actually pass off to people to do that thing. So I think it's going to be great. I'm excited. We should have you back on in like 6 months or a year and then we'll recap on the
yeah,
after.
Yeah, we can see how it goes. And yeah, like
case study.
And like one more thing too is most of these guys, like, they have dream, like they're like just dreaming themselves. Like my manager, I'm his first artist. Like my producer, like he's produced for a lot of other people, but like, you know, he's Blake. I love Blake. Yeah. He's gonna laugh at that. But like, you know, these people aren't like crazy well known, you know, like they're people that I believe in. And I think that's so important when you're thinking about building your team. Who else do you believe in? Like truly believe in, like, I mean, if something happens, I know for a fact I'm taking them with me. Like, I feel like they can provide me and like the right amount of help and support that I need. Yeah, that's one thing is like, I've really been trying to just invest this portion into people who don't really like, I mean, they have it going for them, but like, no one knows, you know, like, right. It's like, come on, we got to get these like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
No, that's good. No, that's really valuable. Yeah, because you can always try. And I think so many people get in the trap of like, oh, if I could just have this high named manager, or this big guy producer, or this big songwriter, then I could finally make it. But like realistically, in my experience, like those aren't really doors that you can just walk into. So like finding places, because they already have their team, they already have that thing. And not that they're like mean, it's just like they already have that stuff in place. So like, for you to be kind of assembling your Avengers here of these, like, you know, when you guys all push into the next thing, you do it together. And then like, then other people can do that, you know, with their own teams. But it, yeah, people get in the trap so much of like, if it just had that one person that worked I would make it, you know? And it's so sad because it doesn't usually happen.
Well, then you get depressed because once you realize like, you're not as important.
Right.
Like, it's like, you know, like, no, truly, you are the one to make it happen. Do not wait for that moment or that person. You can make it happen. Like, you and God, like, that is the greatest force. They say, like, the greatest marriage is, like, you, your husband, and God. Like, you know, like, it's just, like, you, your music, and God. What? Who knows what can happen? So, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you for a piece of advice for your younger self, but that might have been it.
No, yeah, yeah.
That's really good. So, man, I really appreciate, you know, you taking the time to be on, and I'm just excited. Your energy is awesome, and you've got so much, you know, going, and it's exciting to watch, and it was awesome to actually, because a lot of times, too, I've do interviews with people that I've never met, or I have maybe, but like I actually met you first, which is pretty cool. So that was exciting and exciting for all the things coming up. But before we go, I'm going to list all this obviously in the description below, but can you just let people know like where to find you and how to connect with you to get ready for this new music?
Yeah. Yeah. Follow me on Spotify, Grace Graber. That's just my name. I think all my artist stuff has changed too. So you'll see a little like my favorite artist photo right now is this like sad girl look. I love it so much. It's like, it's so good. So you'll see some sad girl somewhere. Look up Grace Graber, Grace Graber Music on Instagram, Grace Graber Music on Facebook, Grace Graber on YouTube.
That's what's good about having a unique name is that it's, you probably have the .com too, right?
I have gracegraber.com. Yeah. That yeah. I have that. If you want, are like looking to book or, reach out to me and get connected and have a meeting, like management@gracegraber.com. Yeah. I have my husband to thank for the name. So boom.
There you go. Awesome. Well, before we go, I want to pray for you as I always do. So let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for Grace. Thank you so much for all of her energy and her willingness and boldness to just step out and just lead this charge of making mental health just aware and just praying that it continues to resonate and with more and more people and impact to let people know that they're not alone in these struggles. They're not alone in all these things they feel like they are, because that's the trap of the enemy, is to make us feel like it's only us and we're the ones that, you know, something's wrong with us and we can never get out of this cycle. But let Grace's music be the thing that helps somebody, just like it did for her, just like with that song that helped her so much. Let her music get to be that for so many other people on their journeys and their lives, God. As this new music is coming out, God, just let it just lift up and just point people to you and point people to that there's always a hope and there's always a future, God, as long as we continue to chase after you, Lord. I'm just excited for her, her husband and her family and her whole team, God, that just prayed extra inspiration and motivation and courage as they step into this new season, God. In your name we pray, amen. We want to help reach as many Christian indie artists and songwriters as possible. And one way we can do that is with your help. So if you could take a minute and leave us a review on iTunes, that would be so appreciated. This is how the iTunes algorithm will push this content out to more and more Christian indie artists and songwriters. So like I said, if you could just take a couple seconds, leave us a review, that would be so awesome. It means so much to us and we would really appreciate it.